equal time. Another viewpoint, other considerations. Equal time.
Good afternoon, I'm Carl Etnar, your host for Equal Time Radio. On Mondays, my theme, as usual, is energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil. Got a great show coming up for you today, focusing on the energy part of the theme, and in particular, electricity, and even more in particular, one source of Vermont's electricity, Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Plant, which is due to go offline in 2012 unless its license is renewed. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about who owns Vermont Yankee. Right now, my understanding is that Entergy Nuclear owns Vermont Yankee, and that is in turn owned by Entergy Corporation. It's all very complicated. But Entergy wants to spin off ownership of this nuclear power plant, leaving the parent corporation without liability for the nuclear power plant. Vermont's Department of Public Service, which is supposed to protect you and me, the ratepayers, taxpayers, public interest, first opposed the move, but now they've okayed it. Thomas Weiss has reviewed the laws and thinks the department exceeded its authority and it's not protecting the interests it's supposed to protect. Don Kreese of the Vermont Law School wonders how the spinoff can be in the interest of the Vermont people. We'll hear from them with our two guests questioning this agreement that the Public Service Department entered into. I wanted the department to be here on the air with us to explain to the people who pay their salaries why they agreed to support Entergy spinning off Vermont Yankee. They declined to participate, saying they want to wait until the Public Service Board has established its hearing schedule. They will, however, be talking to the legislature on December 2nd, so maybe we can get more information then, if not before. Our first guest is Thomas Weiss, a Montpelier resident who has closely analyzed this Memorandum of Understanding, MOU we'll call it from here on out. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carl, and hello to the listeners.
So you produced a pretty detailed analysis of this spinoff. How did it come that you immersed yourself in this issue?
Well, I've been following the Vermont Yankee issue probably for a dozen, 15 years, the various ramifications of the sale of the ownership and end-of-life issues, waste management, and so on. And what caught my eye is that the Department of Public Service initially had opposed the spinoff, which I'll explain in a minute. And then with this memorandum of understanding, the department changed its mind, reversed its position, and now as long as what's in the memorandum of understanding is implemented by the Public Service Board, the department supports the spinoff.
And what's your background for this sort of analysis?
I'm a civil engineer, and as a civil engineer, my background involved a lot of reading of contracts and laws and regulations and those sorts of things, understanding what they meant and trying to implement them. And I've used that kind of analysis and thinking in reviewing this particular memorandum of understanding and then relating it to the various other parts of the Vermont Yankee issue.
Okay, and I gave a little bit of introduction to what Entergy wants to do. Could you expand on that? What is this memorandum of understanding all about?
Well, Entergy Corporation, the big mother company down in New Orleans, has basically two parts. One is that it owns some regulated utilities like Green Mountain Power and Central Vermont Public Service and owns nuclear power plants with them. And then it owns...
Not those utilities in particular, but those are examples of
those are examples
utilities.
Of regulated utilities, okay. That's right. And they also own 8 or 7 nuclear power plants whose sole function is to sell electricity into the open market. Merchant plants is the jargon that's used for them, like the Vermont Yankee plant. So what Entergy wants to do is to take all of those nuclear reactors, 6 of which are operating, one of which is in mothballs, and the other one of which I believe has been essentially totally dismantled by now, and put them into a new company whose only assets will be these nuclear power plants, whose only sources of revenue will be those nuclear power plants. And Vermont Yankee will be one of them. So that's what Entergy is trying to do, is to create this new company to own these merchant power plants.
So under the present situation, then, if know, if the plant of Vermont Yankee closes down in 2012 and there's not enough money in the decommissioning fund to decommission it, then conceivably Entergy Corporation could be called on to reach into its pockets and take its profits from these regulated utilities to help decommission it. Is that correct?
Conceivably, yes, but what the plan is now is to let the plant sit idle for however many years it will take for the money that's in the savings account, if you will, the trust fund for decommissioning, to grow to the point where it will be sufficient to pay for the decommissioning of the plant.
Right. That option is there. Entergy is on the hook right now, whereas with a spinoff, they'd be separated completely? They'd be off the hook?
Entergy would be totally off the hook with the spinoff. Well, the only highest level company would be the company that owns the companies that own each of these power plants.
Right. And so on the hook would be these other nuclear power plants, some of which are online, some of which are offline.
And all of which are essentially as old as Vermont Yankee. They all were built, put online 1971 through 1975. Vermont Yankee put online in 1972.
Sounds pretty sketchy to me.
It does.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And this is Peter Shumlin's day in a way with his announcement that people have been expecting a long time that he'd be running for governor. And I just wanted to give a couple things that he said in the Brattleboro Reformer earlier this month, or perhaps it was last month, reacting to this memorandum of understanding in which the Department of Public Service says, okay, you can go ahead and do the spinoff. It's okay with us. He says, rather than addressing the core problems with the deal, Enexis is the name of this new spinoff company, the proposed name, Enexis bond ratings and the decommissioning fund, the Department of Public Service has settled for Entergy's promise that Vermont Yankee will be able to borrow more money for its operations from Enexis subsidiaries than it could from Entergy subsidiaries. At a time when we are digging ourselves out of a recession caused in part by companies and individuals relying on borrowing too much money, it seems unwise to place our trust in such promise. And in a telephone interview with a Brattleboro Reformer, Shumlin said the transaction means Vermont Yankee will no longer be owned by a financially strong company, but by a new firm with $4.7 billion in what he calls junk bond debt. And quote, right now, Vermont has a well-capitalized and profitable partner in Entergy Louisiana, said Shumlin, unquote. What the state will be left with, he said, is a weaker company whose only assets are five aging nuclear power plants. That's the word from Peter Shumlin, who's going to make opposing Vermont Yankee and promoting renewables a trademark of his campaign. Enough of campaign 2010. Let's look at this deal in more detail. Thomas, you had 3 points that you wanted to make about it.
Yes, I did. In the analysis of the memorandum, it's not clear that the department has authority to enter into the memorandum of understanding. Now, the department enters into lots of memoranda of understanding, so it's generally considered that they do, but when I looked at the authority that they have, it's not clear that they have that. The department failed to represent the interests it is required to represent, and the department agreed to financial conditions that will not provide the expected protections, as Mr. Shumlin had pointed out.
Okay, well, let's unpack each of those a little bit. First of all, the department doesn't have the authority to do this.
Well, I'd like to step back a little bit and talk about the memorandum itself.
Okay.
The parties to the memorandum are the Department of Public Service. They are the Enexis Energy Corporation, which will be a parent company to the proposed owner of the nuclear power station following the proposed sale. That'll be the company that owns the companies that own each of the power plants. Entergy Nuclear Vermont Yankee, LLC, which owns the Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station. And the fourth party is the Entergy Nuclear Operations Incorporated, which operates the Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station.
So there are two companies now in the picture right down there in Vernon, one which owns it and one which operates it.
That's right. And the one which operates it operates all or most of Entergy's other nuclear power plants.
Got it.
They are an operating company, so they have like a branch, if you will, at Vernon to operate that plant.
Okay.
And that operating company will also be spun off and half-controlled by the new company that will, by Enexis, will be half-owned by Enexis.
Okay.
And So anyway, in terms of the jurisdiction, the Department basis of Public Service bases its jurisdiction for the Memorandum of Understanding on something called the Contested Cases sections of the Administrative Procedures Act and state law, and also the jurisdiction that the Department has for certain public utilities under the powers and duties of the Department of Public Service in state statute. And as I have looked through the department's jurisdiction in the statute, the jurisdiction appears to be limited to the director of public advocacy representing the interests of the people of the state in hearings before the Public Service Board, which this is one, docket 7404, for those who are interested in following it.
The director of public advocacy is an employee of the Department of Public Service, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And the other item or duty has is that the department shall represent the consuming public in cases involving the decommissioning fund, acknowledging that the general public interest requires that the consuming public, rather than the state's future consumers or the state's taxpayers, ought to provide the costs of decommissioning.
So the consuming public are the people who buy their electricity from Vermont Yankee, correct?
Yes.
I buy my electricity from Washington Electric Co-op, which gets 0% of its synergy from Vermont Yankee. So I should not be on the hook for the decommissioning costs, is the understanding.
That's right. When the power plant was owned by the Consortium of Utilities, which was majority owned by Green Mountain Power and Central Vermont Public Service, mm-hmm. We, each of us who bought power from them, paid a certain amount of money that went into the decommissioning fund. Mm-hmm. And so that's where all of the money in the decommissioning fund, as it now stands, came from ratepayers like me. Mm-hmm. And once Entergy took over, they were no longer required to do that. But yes, that's what it means, is that mm-hmm. those who buy the electricity from Vermont Yankee pay into the fund.
Okay.
And then the Contested Cases section of the Administrative Procedures Act allows an agency overseeing a contested case to make an informal disposition. However, in this contested case, the Public Service Board is the agency, not the department. And the department is merely a party.
And explain for us, just remind us the difference between the Public Service Board and the department.
The Public Service Board is a body of three appointed members who regulate the state's utilities. So in this case, the owners of the power plant came before the Public Service Board and said, we want to create a new company which will own the Vermont Yankee nuclear power station. Mm-hmm. And so the Public Service Board is taking all the testimony in that case and will eventually issue an order as to whether or not they think this should happen.
It's fair to say it's a quasi-judicial body?
Yes.
And its three members are appointed by the governor, but they have six-year terms, I believe, and they cannot be removed during those terms. Is that correct?
I don't know those details. I'm sorry.
Okay. But they're a little bit more insulated from political pressures in the Public Service Department, whose commissioner can be removed by the governor at any time.
That is correct. And the department has, among other things, duties of representing the public. They have the director of public advocacy. If a person has a problem with a utility that they can't get resolved, they can call the Public Service Department to try and get it resolved.
Yep.
The Public Service Department has certain responsibilities to represent the people of Vermont.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying
do the state electric plan, they do the state energy plan.
Yep. Okay, so you're saying the Public Service Board could enter into this Memorandum of Understanding, but the Public Service Department doesn't have any business doing it. Is that correct?
That's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
Now, of course, whether or not the department has the authority to do it, if the Public Service Board accepts it and puts it into its order, it's immaterial as to whether the department has the authority or not.
Very good. But you don't think that this MOU about the spinoff of Vermont Yankee is in the interests of the people of the state?
That's right. The department determined that the interests of the people in a series of workshops during the autumn of 2007. The department conducted 5 workshops attended by 785 citizens around Vermont that October, a deliberative poll attended by 146 randomly selected Vermonters that November, and then conducted 10 online conferences that December, after the department decided that business and industry were inadequately represented in the workshops and deliberative poll. And those 10 online conferences had 75 participants. And the aggregate results, when I take all three of them together, was majority opposition to continuing to get electricity from Vermont Yankee. And that ranged from an overwhelming majority in the conferences to a 50-50 split in the other two methods. Majority support for reducing radioactive wastes. Low rankings for nuclear energy as a future source of electricity. And three times as many of the participants found nuclear energy to be extremely unfriendly as found it to be extremely friendly. So the conclusion out of all that is that what the people want is the power station to be shut down. They don't want the certificate of public good extended. They don't want more radioactive waste. And by extension, they don't support a transfer of ownership that would keep the station operating 20 more years, nor support the memorandum that helps to keep the station operating 20 more years. Because that's a lot of what this memorandum is intended to do, is to cover the period from the year 2012 to 2032.
So when would the transfer of ownership, when would the spinoff go into effect?
First, the Public Service Board has to approve it. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has to approve it. I'm not sure of the status of that. And the Wall Street bankers or the other bankers have to provide the money to enable a Nexus to buy the plants from Entergy, you know, which would be a loan to the Nexus company that has to get paid back out of the income that a Nexus gets from the sales of electricity from the power plants.
So what is the connection then between this memorandum of understanding and the 2012 closing date for Vermont Yankee?
The connection is that there are items in this memorandum that are to provide funding to the Vermont Yankee power plant during the period 2012 to 2032. One of the letters of credit isn't even required until the year 2014 and then only under certain conditions. It requires working capital during that whole period. So if the plant were to be shut down within a year or so after the transfer, the earliest the transfer could probably occur would be in the year 2010, so maybe 2 years, most of these financial conditions wouldn't be necessary. I mean, they would be necessary to the extent of making sure that the money's there to decommission the plant, but all of the extra that would be required to keep the plant operating for 20 more years wouldn't be needed.
Okay, so you're saying that because the people of Vermont have very clearly spoken and said they don't want power from Vermont Yankee after 2012, then any sort of memorandum of understanding that would lead to ownership changes to facilitate Vermont Yankee operating another 20 years is against Vermonters' interests.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is Equal Time Radio on WDEV. I'm Carl Ettinger, the Monday host. Our guest is Thomas Weiss, who's been looking at the proposal to spin off nuclear power plants owned by Entergy, put them in a separate corporation, and the memorandum of understanding that Vermont's Department of Public Service has entered into with Entergy about that. Shortly, we're going to also hear from Don Kreese. He's a professor at the Vermont Law School and a former member of the equivalent of the Public Service Board over in New Hampshire. We'll hear from him on this same subject. You had one more point to make about this memorandum of understanding, Thomas.
Yes. The memorandum, I think, fails to represent the required interests. It doesn't mention what those interests are. It doesn't mention any interests of the people. Instead of talking about representing the interests of the people of the state and advancing those interests instead of representing the consuming public, the memorandum talks about the department producing tangible benefits to the public good and producing material benefits to Vermont, whereas the statute doesn't give the department authority to do that in this case, as I read the statute. I'm not an attorney, and I'm reading the statutes and interpreting them.
Those sound like good things, public good of the state, material benefits to Vermont.
That's true, but the statute, as I read it, talks about representing interests of the people and representing the consuming public in a certain way.
Okay. So what would you like to see happen?
What would I like to see happen? I would like to see the memorandum rejected by the Public Service Board so that the department's support for this would be withdrawn.
Okay. That's very clear. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be taking up the same question from a different perspective with Don Kreese from the Vermont Law School. Back right after this. Welcome back to Equal Time Radio. I'm Carl Ettnayer, your Monday host, and my theme, as usual, is food, energy, the local economy at the end of the age of oil. We're focusing on energy and Vermont Yankee today, looking at this proposed deal to spin off Vermont Yankee and a bunch of other nuclear reactors now owned by the Entergy Corporation, put them in a separate company that would shield the parent corporation, Entergy, from any liabilities, although I guess they would still get the profits coming from them. Thomas is shaking his head.
No.
Enexis, which is the proposed company to take these nuclear power plants, would be totally separate from Entergy.
So it'd have separate shareholders?
Separate shareholders,
got it.
That's right.
Okay,
Entergy
thank you
gets,
for that correction.
Entergy gets a whole bunch of money up front to sell the power plants, and then they don't have anything to do with them anymore.
Got it. Thank you. And with us to comment further is Don Kreese. He's a professor at the Vermont Law School, and he used to be general counsel of the New Hampshire Public Utilities Commission, which is their equivalent of our Public Service Board. Don Kreese, welcome to Equal Time.
Hello. Thank you. You said a few minutes ago that I was a member of the New Hampshire PUC.
I've demoted you.
Well, factually, because I, in fact, was not a member of the commission, and the commissioners who I work for would be, they might be annoyed if they thought I was claiming to have been one of them. I was just their lawyer.
Okay, on the record, it was my mistake, not yours.
There is a nuclear power plant of some note over in New Hampshire, so these nuclear issues are not things that I have never heard of before.
Very good. Well, you've been listening in on our conversation since the beginning of the show, I understand.
I have, and I want to say that I've never met Thomas Weiss before, but I'm a fan. I think the public interest of the state is pretty well served when people like him who have a lot of expertise and training are weighing in on a kind of a freelance basis about public policy questions.
Well, thank you.
Especially in this case, because there's nobody... now that the Public Service Department has entered an agreement with Entergy, there's no... there's very little in the way of skeptical voices that are going to be talking about this this proposed transaction.
Well, what did you think of the analysis that Thomas made?
I think that at the 30,000-foot level, I think he raises some significant and valid concerns. At the 10,000-foot level, I, as is typical, anytime lawyers and engineers meet on the same playing field, I disagree with some of his legal analysis.
Okay. You want to give us details on 30,000 and 10,000 feet?
Well, first of all, as a general notion, the reason we form corporate entities is to insulate their owners from the debts and liabilities of the corporation. So whether you're talking about Vermont Yankee as something that is lodged within the Entergy family of companies, or Vermont Yankee as spun off and transformed into a subsidiary of this Enexis company, it's still very difficult to pierce the corporate veil, as they say in the law, and make these parent firms liable for all the debts and obligations of Vermont Yankee, including its decommissioning liability. And so what you see, either under the current ownership regime or under the proposed one, all of these mechanisms that purport to provide some guarantees by plant owners that they'll be there in the event that Vermont Yankee can't meet its debts and obligations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so typically those are things like letters of credit where, you know, the other company says, all right, you know, we'll step in there and we'll loan money to the to Vermont Yankee and help them with their decommissioning problems so that the people in the state of Vermont won't be left with a nuclear power plant that can't decommission itself. Now, whether you trust those guarantees and whether they're adequate is another question, but that's their purpose.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote on your blog about a month ago that it makes sense that Entergy would want to consummate such a spinoff, since the purpose of such a transaction is to insulate Entergy's shareholders from the massive potential liabilities associated with nuclear power. But in what sense could such a transaction possibly be in the public interest, even if, as it appears here, Entergy is willing to post a modest line of credit to cover some of the potential liabilities? In what sense is a public good advanced by this proposed deal? So from that, I infer that you think that the current connections between Entergy Corporation and Entergy Nuclear Vermont Yankee give more of a chance for the parent corporation to be put on the hook to pay for anything that might go wrong down in Vernon. Is that fair to say?
Well, one thing I would like to confess is that at the time I wrote those words, I hadn't read all of the documents in the case that I have now read, and I didn't realize that this is a complete spinoff, so that it's not just a question of Entergy putting in more layers of insulation between it and Vermont Yankee. They just want to spin Vermont Yankee off outright and make the nuclear assets that Entergy currently owns freestanding companies. And, of course, it's the Entergy shareholders who would be the new owners of the spun-off company. So I think when you look at this kind of deal, one of the questions you want to ask yourself is whether it is better for the people of Vermont to have these nuclear power plants lodged in a big corporate structure where the company has a bunch of different lines of business, one of which is nuclear power, or whether you think it is better public policy to have these nuclear power plants owned by a company that is focused solely on nuclear power. And I think you can make arguments either way. It's interesting that part of this deal involves a joint venture between the spun-off company and Entergy, and that joint venture would actually be the operator of Vermont Yankee. And so Entergy isn't walking away completely. It still wants to be involved in the business of operating these nuclear power plants. It just wants to spin off the ownership of the actual plants.
Mm-hmm.
And the question about whether that's a good idea or not probably has, that's a great question for people who analyze energy stocks for a living, because ultimately the judgment on these things will be passed by shareholders and investors who will either value the spun-off company more highly or less highly, depending on how they feel about this whole transaction.
As is famously said about nuclear power plants, like the Three Mile Island plant, they can go from being a $1 billion asset to a $2 billion liability overnight, depending on what happens there.
Indeed. I know that over in New Hampshire, the Seabrook nuclear power plant's done very well under its new owner, which is Florida Power and Light. So arguably, the utility customers in New Hampshire got too small of a price when that facility was sold by the utilities to the Florida Power and Light back, I think, in about 2002.
Hmm.
So there's a couple of other sort of legal points that Mr. Weiss makes that I think require a little rebuttal. I don't think there's any question that the Department of Public Service had the authority to enter into that memorandum of understanding with Entergy. Its role, as I think you folks have already established, is as a party in a bigger contested case that's actually pending before the Vermont Public Service Board. And the Public Service Board has the authority to reject this deal in toto. And if I understand Mr. Weiss correctly, he thinks this MOU, this new agreement between the department and the company, is bad public policy. And it may well be, but the Department of Public Service had the authority to make those public policy judgments subject to approval by the board.
Thomas Weiss, your comments?
I'll agree with you that I think it's bad public policy, and I won't dispute your interpretation about the authority.
Okay, very good. And you had further points on that, Don Kreese?
Well, I think that ultimately people in Vermont have to understand that Commissioner O'Brien has a certain understanding of what is in the best interests of the people in Vermont, and he makes those determinations based on his obligation to advance the public policy agenda of the governor. And I think the governor, for his part, made his support for Vermont Yankee pretty apparent at the time he was running for re-election 2 years ago. And so, in a sense, you have a kind of a transparency here where the department has been doing what Governor Douglas said his department was going to do in the last election.
And you also have a transparency thanks to our campaign financing laws and from Entergy's contributions to Jim Douglas's campaign and thousands of dollars to his inaugural ball.
Sure. And so this is something to keep in mind when voters cast their ballots in the upcoming gubernatorial election next November.
Well, let's get down to what's really at stake here. As I mentioned earlier, I buy my electricity from Washington Electric, and Washington Electric, during the time that it was buying from Vermont Yankee, was paying through its rates into the decommissioning fund. Now I'm not buying any more electricity from Vermont Yankee because we get most of ours from renewables, and I don't want to be on the hook for the decommissioning of Vermont Yankee. I'm afraid that with this spinoff deal going through, that there will be this corporation that owns just a bunch of aging nuclear power plants, many of which will be winding down, some of which may get their license extended or may already have gotten their license extended. I don't know. But the possibility exists for this decommissioning fund that is way inadequate right now, has maybe 40% of what may be needed to decommission the plant, to not have enough sources of income from within the company, the new spinoff company, to be able to decommission this nuclear reactor. And as a taxpayer in the state of Vermont, I'm afraid that I might be left on the hook, even though I'm not buying any more electricity from them. What are your comments on that, Don Kreese?
Well, part of the big picture questions, of course, get resolved in the proceeding before the Public Service Board that talks about, and the legislature that talks about whether to lease or relicense Vermont Yankee. The question here to think about is whether the spun off Vermont Yankee is in a stronger position than it actually would have been under the current ownership. And I will say that if I've read the Public Service Department's pleadings correctly, they actually think that they have extracted some significant concessions that actually put Vermont Yankee on a stronger footing vis-a-vis decommissioning under the new ownership structure than under the old ownership structure.
And have you done enough analysis to say whether you agree or disagree with that?
Well, it's hard to say because it really depends on what you think the financial strength of the two respective companies would be. It's interesting to compare this whole proposed transaction with the Fairpoint deal, where Verizon spun its landline network in northern New England off to Fairpoint Communications. Fairpoint went from a tiny little company to a much bigger company, and here you have a similar thing happening. Instead of selling the Vermont Yankee to a tiny company, you're basically forming a new company. And, of course, Fairpoint didn't work out very well because it became too highly leveraged, meaning owed too much money to the banks. And Peter Shumlin has made a similar point about this transaction, and I guess I'm not enough of a financial expert to know whether he's right or not. I will say that by any objective measure, the new company will be leveraged, meaning that its bond liability will vastly exceed the amount of capital that the shareholders of the company own.
Is that a similar position to being underwater if you have a home mortgage?
Well, no.
Okay.
Or not necessarily. In fact, the Entergy folks say that you have exactly the opposite here. Their latest pleadings say, well, look, this company has an enterprise value of $10 billion. And even though on paper it looks like we're highly leveraged, in fact, if you add up the amount of our leverage and the amount of our debt and the amount of our equity, it's a small fraction of $10 billion. So it would be like having a, you know, $100,000 mortgage on your house and maybe having another $20,000 invested in the house, but then the house itself is worth $500,000.
Well, that sounds like a good deal. Thomas Weiss, you had some questions about the financial conditions.
Well, I've got a question on that $10 billion. Is the $10 billion just what the Vermont Yankee plant is worth or what all of Enexis would be worth?
I think they're talking about all of Enexis. But, you know, again, you have to sort of believe. That's a pretty bald assertion, and it was made by an official of Entergy, Mr. Keller, And, you know, I mean, he just says that he's seen Wall Street investment research and that it suggests that the enterprise value of Inexus will be in excess of $10 billion. Maybe that's why it's called Inexus.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's my understanding that the sales price of the purchase price of all the plants will be $3.5 billion. That's the amount of debt that will be incurred. Decommissioning costs for Vermont Yankee alone are $1 billion. For the other six plants are another $3 or $4 billion. And that doesn't even count operating and maintenance expenses and people's salaries over all those companies. It seems like it's stretched pretty thin. But I also have some concerns with the proposed financial conditions in the Memorandum of Understanding. The memorandum uses a lot of acronyms. And when I replace those acronyms with the way they're defined, what I find is that the financial conditions are made to Entergy Nuclear Vermont Yankee, the current owner, and there's no requirement to transfer them to the proposed new owners. The letters of credit don't appear to be required to be irrevocable. You know, we've had experiences here in the state recently, particularly in my city of Montpelier, where a bank withdrew a letter of credit and the company immediately went into bankruptcy and collapsed and was foreclosed upon. So I get leery about letters of credit not being irrevocable. One of the letters of credit doesn't go into effect until 4 years from the date of the transaction, and then would only go into effect if the company doesn't maintain a high enough credit rating. And if it doesn't have a high enough credit rating, isn't it going to be really hard to get a letter of credit at reasonable terms and conditions?
Okay, let's you have more points there, Thomas, but let's stop there. And Don Kreese, do you have comments on those analyses from Thomas?
Well, let me be clear. It's not my job to defend Vermont Yankee or its current owners or its proposed orders, nor is it my job to defend what the Public Service Board has agreed to. All of those people have excellent spokespeople and excellent lawyers who can take care of that.
And let me make clear one more time for people who are tuning in recently that we invited the Public Service Department to be on the show to defend their Memorandum of Understanding accepting the spinoff of Vermont Yankee. They declined to participate.
I have to assume that all of the commitments that Entergy has made to Vermont Yankee would travel with Vermont Yankee through this ownership change. And I think the way this is structured, the actual Vermont Yankee Corporation, they call it Envy, that stays intact. It just acquires new owners. And so anybody who makes promises to Vermont Yankee, just like if you agree to sell Vermont Yankee toilet paper for its bathrooms, you're still obliged to do that, even though the ultimate owners of the company are going to be changing. Hmm. As far as the letters of credit go, I assume that they either are irrevocable or that the Public Service Board would require them to be irrevocable in order to approve a deal like this, because if they're revocable, then this is all just Cliffy and Normie writing on the back of a cocktail napkin, as we say in the law.
Hmm.
I forgot what my last point was.
Okay.
Something really good.
Okay, very good. Well, we've got a couple callers on the line that I'd like to bring up about this. And Don, I want to be careful of your time. Thomas is trapped here in the studio with me. Don, are you okay sticking around with us a little bit longer?
You can have me for as long as you want.
Okay, wonderful. We'll be back in just a minute with our callers and more conversation about the spinoff of Vermont Yankee. Welcome back to Equal Time here on WDEV. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and we're talking about Vermont Yankee possibly being spun off with some other aging nuclear power plants into a new corporation. The Department of Public Service, under David O'Brien, says that's just okay, that's fine with Vermonters. Thomas Weiss here in the studio has some questions about it. Don Kreese, the Vermont Law School, is also questioning whether this is in the public good. And we have on the phone Dick from Barrie. Dick, hello.
Ah, good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, more than welcome. little background information. I helped construct, meaning I was an engineer employed in the construction of three separate nuclear facilities, one in Oyster Creek, which is on the New Jersey coastline, Indian Point, Hudson River in Westchester County, and the infamous Shoreham plant on Long Island. To say I am familiar with how they're put together and all of the features that went into their construction, I think is a fair statement.
Okay, stipulated. Now, so what are your thoughts on the spinoff?
The spinoff, it's a legal issue, which frankly, I would rather avoid that. I'm not a lawyer. I put one of my sons through law school, so he handles any legal questions I have, and I haven't discussed it with him.
Okay, well, that's a topic du jour as the spinoff of Vermont Yankee. Is it in the interests of Vermonters?
If I were Entergy, I would be looking to do something in a similar manner. It is no different than what we went through recently with General Motors filing for a bankruptcy, and they were spinning off and closing down divisions. They're protecting the assets of the corporation, which is to say the shareholders.
I agree with you. I want to protect Vermonters, and I want to protect myself, who's not buying any electricity from Vermont Yankee.
That is strictly a financial protection. If you were a stockholder in Entergy, I would be certainly looking to that direction. Now, I think the real issue here has little to do with the financials, because I don't imagine there are that many people here in Vermont as a percentage of owning shares in Entergy is a major issue. I think the issue here is solely one, is Vermont Yankee safe? Can it continue to operate if it is safe? And if it's not safe, what do we do to protect Vermont in terms of its liabilities, which we will inherit should this corporation, this new corporation or the existing corporation, have difficulty in having to shut them down and eventually remove them?
I think you're right. That if it's not safe, there are all sorts of other liabilities besides the financial ones. We are concentrating on
absolutely
the financial ones
That's
today.
The point. Now, yep. with that said, Entergy is the largest single operator of nuclear facilities in the world outside of the French government. Plain and simple. They own and operate or operate for others more plants than anybody. Some of the problems which have happened down there, I would say more of a normal thing, as hard as that may be to believe. When they had the difficulties with the cooling tower, for example, that cooling tower serves no function whatsoever when it comes to the nuclear process. None. Zero. It is there solely to cool the water that is discharged back into the river so that it doesn't kill off the plant life or the fish life. And that's
okay.
It.
I think we've heard your perspective. We've got another caller on the line. Thanks for the call, Dick.
Okay.
We're going to go to Stowe now, to Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I was just listening earlier, and I had a question on something that you had said, Carl, regarding the decommissioning fund, which, frankly, I think it seems to be the heart of the matter for a lot of Vermonters and lawmakers looking ahead to make sure that Vermonters don't get stuck with something. I had read in the past months that the Energy Compass Corporation, whatever you will call it, is had somewhere in the vicinity of 82% of the cash on hand that was required to close this plant down. And you said earlier that it was closer to 40%. Those numbers are pretty far apart. And as somebody who really doesn't know much about the whole process, but is interested in making sure we don't get stuck with something, what's the real number and why are they so far apart?
I hadn't heard this 82% number.
I'm sorry, it was in the free press. It was probably 3 weeks ago.
Okay, I was going from the projected cost of around $1 billion, somewhat over $900 million to decommission, and the fund goes up and down, but it's around $400 million plus or minus. Thomas Weiss may have some more detailed information on that.
The problem is the different definitions of decommissioning.
Okay.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, when they talk about decommissioning, means only removal of the radioactive materials. And that cost is estimated to be somewhere around, I think, $650 or $700 million right now. And the decommissioning fund has about $400,000 in it. But in Vermont, we also...
$400 million in it.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And in Vermont, we use the term decommissioning to include the radiological decommissioning, to include spent fuel management, which is another almost $200 million, and to also do the returning of the site to a green field, which is another $50 or $60 million, if I remember correctly. So the percentage depends on what figure you're talking about as to what needs to go down. Carl's 40% is based on the $1 billion needed to radiological decommission, return to a green field, and also to provide for spent fuel management for another 20 or 30 or 40 years until the federal government actually comes up with some kind of a permanent waste repository or waste solution.
Okay, well, thank you for your explanation. That makes it a little more clear.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for your question, Bruce. Don Kreese, any comments on the calls from these last two callers?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that the minute after this spinoff occurs, if it does occur, Vermont Yankee and the other nuclear power plants that are owned by Entergy will have the same ultimate owners that they had a minute before the deal got consummated. It's the same shareholders, because all the shareholders in Entergy will get shares in Enexis. The question is, the real questions have to do with how much more leveraged these nuclear assets become, because there is a big payment to the Entergy Corporation that takes place as a result of this spinoff. So it's a question of leverage, and it's a question of whether you like a nuclear power plant company that is focused solely on nuclear power.
So whether there are high or low stock prices for this new company in excess if it gets formed, how important is that for Vermonters?
I think it's very important. You want, with any utility company that's operating in the state, you want it to have strong backing from the investment community. That's one of the ways in which companies manage to issue investment-grade securities, which means just sounder, more strong company, and in this case, better ability to meet decommissioning liabilities.
Is there any way to know before the Public Service Board grants permission for this new company to be created? Is there any way to know what it might be valued at?
No. I think that if people were able to prognosticate that way in the Fairpoint deal, we might be in a different position today with vis-a-vis our landline telephone network.
Right. So it's kind of a leap off a cliff. It might turn out to be a new Google, just going up drastically in value. It might turn out to be a new Fairpoint.
I would venture a guess that we're not looking at the next Google here.
Thomas Weiss, do you have any comments on that?
No.
Okay. You were scribbling. We've got just about a minute left. Any final comments, Thomas Weiss?
My final comments, a couple of them. In terms of the interests of Vermonters, the legislature specifically asked the Department of Public Service to determine that through those activities in the autumn of 2007, and the overwhelming result was that the people did not want the plant to continue. And
okay, and thanks very much, Thomas Weiss, citizen activist, has produced a detailed analysis of the proposed, the Memorandum of Understanding from the Public Service Department and Entergy about the spinoff. Don Kreese, professor of law at Vermont Law School, any final comments?
I just want to thank Mr. Weiss again for his vigilant scrutiny of this whole thing, and I think this is an interesting opening act to the big questions that have to do with whether this plant should continue in operation.
Okay, Don Kreese, thanks so much for joining us on the phone from South Royalton.
Thank you.
And Thomas Weiss, thanks for coming into the studio today.
You are welcome.
So closing Vermont Yankee, who owns it and who owns its liabilities? Or maybe keep it open for another 20 years and have some spinoff company, highly leveraged, owned its liabilities. Good idea or not? Public Service Board will decide. They're open for your comments. Check out their website to find out how to comment. Want to thank callers from Dick from Barry and Bruce from Stowe for making our show more interesting. I'm Carl Ettenayer. That's it for Monday's Equal Time. I'll be back next Monday at 1 o'clock. Don't forget to check equaltimeradio.com for podcasts of the shows that Travin and I host. Artie Levine produced the show. Thanks for tuning in.
Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Nuclear power plants were once touted as providing electricity that would be too cheap to meter. Now it seems they're so expensive to build or even own that no one wants to risk owning one. Mark Cooper, a professor at Vermont Law School, described the economics of nuclear power plants at a recent conference. He called his talk, quote, "The future of nuclear power is in the past, or a technology whose time never came and probably never will," unquote. Drawing from well-known investment and science sources like Moody's and the National Research Council, Cooper showed that there is no need to build another nuclear power plant for decades. Efficiency remains the cheapest new source of electricity. At 2.7 cents per kilowatt hour, it cannot be beat. That's less than half the nuclear industry's own estimate of the cost of electricity from new nuclear plants, 6 cents per kilowatt hour. What efficiency cannot provide, renewables can, at a cost cheaper than new nuclear power. Cooper cites a range of cost estimates for new nuclear from that 6 cents per kilowatt hour of the industry up to 30 cents per kilowatt hour, and uses 15 cents, somewhere in between, for his calculations. Then he turns to the California Energy Commission, which finds 15 sources of renewable electricity cheaper than nuclear. 12 of them are 40% cheaper. And there's plenty of potential supply of renewables and efficiency out there, he says. Up until 2030, renewables and efficiency can meet all new demand for electricity at a cost less than what we pay today, without building a single new nuclear power plant. Utilities that have applied to build new nuclear power plants have lowballed their costs, Cooper says, and independent analysts like Moody's or Standard & Poor's, who reviewed their figures, have put them much higher. As Cooper's put it, quote, "We have had a tripling or quadrupling of the projected costs of nuclear reactors, and they haven't even poured any concrete yet. It's when you start pouring concrete that you really have trouble," unquote. How do you build nuclear reactors that the market doesn't need and whose cost is too high? Well, you get loan guarantees from Washington and get electric ratepayers to pay for plants that haven't generated any electricity yet. And that's exactly what the nuclear industry is doing. How about existing nuclear plants? Cooper describes himself as a consumer advocate, not an anti-nuclear person. From the ratepayer's perspective, he says, existing nuclear plants are a bargain. And from the owner's perspective, they're a cash cow. So why does one of the largest owners of nuclear power plants in the U.S. want to sell off its reactors? Entergy Corporation has proposed selling its nuclear reactors to a newly created, highly leveraged company called Enexis. At least 5 aging nuclear reactors would go to this company, which has no assets except the aging reactors, and would begin life with billions of dollars of debt. The new company would borrow money from someone else to give to Entergy, which would walk away from its plants with billions of dollars and no ownership responsibility for their mishaps. Sounds like a good deal for the owners. The Three Mile Island reactor famously went from being a billion-dollar asset to a $2 billion liability overnight. Entergy is protecting its stockholders by selling off its aging reactors and taking the profits up front before further mishaps occur. As Cooper puts it, quote, "The utilities will run them until they break. Obviously, that's what scares a lot of people. Once they break, who knows how they're going to break," unquote. One of Entergy's reactors is here in Vermont. Others are in Massachusetts, New York, and Michigan. "My utility doesn't buy any electricity from the nuclear reactor, but I'm afraid that this proposed Shell Corporation will go bankrupt and leave me as a taxpayer on the hook for cleanup costs for the reactor. If Entergy doesn't want to keep owning its reactors, I don't want to pay it so I can take risk off its hands. I want to shut them down." I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.